The problem is, like the man in our story, we are not in control. We think we're in control of everything, but really, truly, we're not. In the song, Live Like You Were Dying, there's a phrase, there's a part in there that says, you know, I was rocked by that bad health report or something to that effect. It was when he got the diagnosis of cancer that his world was turned upside down. And the words, you fool, tonight you will die, then who will get everything you work for, becomes even more poignant. We don't get to choose when we die. We don't get to choose when we're born. We don't get to choose our family. We don't get to choose our hair color, our skin color, our eye color, or anything like that. We cannot even make one hair on our head grow. God is in control. And our lives are in God's hands and not our own. And God can give and take life according to His plan and His purpose for each and every one of us. We are not in control, folks. We are not in control of the important things of life. Yes, we must make plans. Yes, we must plan for retirement. Yes, we must take care of our children. Yes, we must plan for college tuition and jobs and all of that. Sure, we need to make plans, but we must realize that we're not in control. And our study has hopefully taught us that we're to live each day to the fullest as well, knowing that at any moment God could call us home. Knowing that at any moment our lives can be turned completely upside down, for we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Someone sitting in this room today may not be here with us next Sunday or even tomorrow. God may call them home. I hope it's none of you. I'm ready to go, but I don't want to go tomorrow. Some living I'd like to do. There's some things I'd like to experience first. Like see my stepson get married at some point. Things like that. But if God calls me home tomorrow, that's okay. I'm ready. Because this is not my home. The message of this study has been, live like this is the last day on earth. Live as if this is your last day. The third mistake that the man made in our story is that he didn't live this life in light of the life to come. In light of the life to come. That's preparation. That's preparation. Most people believe in heaven. I think if you took a survey like they did on the video that's part of our study, you'll find that most people believe there's a heaven and that there's a hell. But they're not living, perhaps, as if it were relevant to them. What does it mean to know that heaven is our final destination? One thing as Christians we need to realize is that this world is not our home. The Bible is very clear on that. This is not our final destination. We are just passing through this world. For you see, we are physical beings, and if God gives us 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years to live on earth, that's nothing compared to eternity. When we draw our final breaths, when we go home to be with the Lord, we leave all this behind and we go on to live eternally with God. So let us live this life as pilgrims, as sojourners, as journeyers. And whatever we experience in this life, whatever trials and tribulations and difficulties and sicknesses and bad diagnoses and whatever trials we suffer, let us remember they are only temporary. They are only temporary. Paul speaks of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long in terms of eternity. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, and get this, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. For we know that when this earthly tent, he's talking about the body, when this shell, this physical body is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself, not made by human hands. Generations before us that wrote the wonderful hymns and the wonderful songs spoke often of heaven. You know, we sang one at 8 o'clock this morning. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And many other songs like Marching to Zion and Shall We Gather at the River and Promised Land and all those wonderful songs of hope and a vision of heaven and eternity. Why? Why did they write those songs? Well, in many of those cases, they were suffering in some way. They were looking forward to life beyond this life because of the trials and difficulties. And the African-American spirituals that have become a part of our hymnal and a part of our culture speak to those things. But think about where the African-Americans have come from. Slavery. Imagine working in the cotton fields and working in the fields, laboring hard under the hand of heavy taskmasters, and how they would gather in the farms outside the farm or near the farm, and they would sing these wonderful old songs, those hand-clapping songs about heaven. Why? Because they were like the Israelites in Egypt, under the hand, the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, looking to God, hoping for liberation and freedom. That's why they sang about heaven and a life beyond, knowing that in this life we will know trouble and hardship. Philip Yancey, one of my favorite contemporary authors, writes this about heaven. The Bible never belittles human disappointment, but it does add one key word: temporary. What we feel now, we will not always feel. Our disappointment is itself a sign, an aching, and a hunger for something better. And faith is in a kind of homesickness. I like that. For a home we have never visited, but have been promised. There's much about heaven and eternity that we don't know about. There's very little in the Bible, but it does give us glimpses. I've never talked to anybody that's been there and come back, so can only go by faith and what Scripture teaches us. But one thing is for sure: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him, writes Paul. Being prepared to die is the most important issue of life, folks. Being prepared for eternity, to embrace eternity, is the most important thing. It is more important than your spouse. It is more important than your job. It is more important than your investment portfolio. It is more important than your children. The question today is, how will we embrace eternity? Are we prepared to embrace eternity? When we draw our last breath, when our heart beats for the very last time, in 30 seconds, will we know where we're going? Will we be with the Lord and hear those wonderful words I hope every one of us hears today? Welcome, my faithful, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. I hope and pray that's what we all hear today. I want to extend an invitation. Now, I know we don't do altar calls in the Methodist Church like we used to. And I don't know if you want to call this an altar call or not. I don't particularly like that word, but I just want to extend an invitation to anyone who has any doubt whatsoever of their eternal destination. You may never have this chance again to receive God's gift of love and forgiveness and hope in eternal life. I don't want any of you leaving here today not sure of where you will spend eternity. We're going to spend it one place or the other. The other place I don't like to think about, but it's real. Eternal separation from God is not a pretty place. It's not a pleasant place. So the Bible teaches us. I want each and every one of you, out of the love of God, to know the hope and the promise of eternal life. If you're not sure today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can take care of that issue right now in your heart with God. You can make your peace with God and know that assurance and have that blessed assurance that we sing about. To know that you know that you know that deep in your heart you know where you're going to spend eternity. That's what this study has been about. It's been preparing us for eternity. Living together here, sharing sweet words, loving each other, and forgiving one another. Why? To what end? That we may go to be with God in peace and with the assurance of eternal life. I'm going to offer a closing prayer. And if you feel so led as to come up and let me pray with you as Joyce plays and Nancy plays some soft music to think about your relationship with God. Again, I don't want to take anything for granted. I don't want to assume that anyone here has made their peace with God. But if you have not, don't miss this opportunity. And you don't have to come forward either, because I know that's embarrassing and that can be difficult for some people. You can do it. You can take care of this sitting right where you are, right in your cushy chair. But there's something about giving ourselves to God in a tangible way, a visible way, to be a witness to the world that, yes, I believe. Yes, I want God, I want the world to know that I am going to heaven. Come as you are led. Come and let the Spirit lead you, not Fred Duncan. Let the Spirit lead you to heaven. Father, we thank you so much for your precious gift. You have promised us eternity, Lord. Not by what we have done or are doing or will do. Not by giving money. Not by loving one another. Not by reading your word. But by faith in what Jesus did for us. And Lord, I do pray that every ear that hears and every eye that sees this day knows you personally as Savior and as Lord. And Lord, whether they come forward or they stay seated in their seat, you know their heart. And you know whether their confession is real. And you know, Lord, that when they give their heart to you, it is forever. And I pray, Father, that you'll hear that prayer today and that you will welcome them into your kingdom, that kingdom that will never end. Hear the prayers of your people now, O God. And for those of us, Lord, who have received that precious gift and who know you intimately and personally, we give thanks and we give praise for the hope of heaven. Oh God, I pray that is the destination of everyone here today. Thank you for your grace that made that gift possible. Lord, be with us all now. As we close this service, singing the song, Lord, that you have laid upon our hearts and have spoken to us over these many weeks. We thank you for Elizabeth. We thank you, Lord, for the gift that you have given her of song. We thank you, Lord, for the words of this song that have pierced our hearts, that we have heard so many times over these past 4 weeks. And Lord, as we close this series and as we close this service, may these words speak our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.